It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Morneau with KRWG News. The U.S. House approved legislation on Wednesday that would prohibit oil and gas development on federal land surrounding Chaco Culture National Historical Park. The vote created a permanent buffer around the park. U.S. Representative Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico says that there are some areas where drilling should not take place and that the area around Chaco is one of them. The approved measure also suggests additional studies and protective measures should be taken to address health, safety, and environmental effects on nearby communities and tribal interests. Immigration attorneys are condemning a new government program that fast-tracks the deportation process for asylum-seeking migrants. KERA's Mallory Falk reports the program is being tested in El Paso.
According to lawyers, migrants who are placed in the secretive pilot program are sent to a Border Patrol station. They reportedly have one day to contact a lawyer before they're screened for fear of persecution in their home countries. Lawyers aren't allowed to visit the station. They're limited to brief phone calls. Linda Rivas runs a legal nonprofit that helps migrants prepare for these screenings, called Credible Fear Interviews.
It is incredibly troubling for us to see this process being expedited in such a way that it is practically and logistically impossible to find an attorney.
Asylum seekers learn their fate after the screenings and can be quickly deported. Immigration attorneys say the pilot program denies migrants due process. The Department of Homeland Security did not immediately respond to a request for comment. I'm Mallory Falk in El Paso.
Time now for a local viewpoint. President Trump said American soldiers would remain in Syria to protect oil reserves that had been used in the past to fund ISIS operations. Commentator Walt Rubel shares his thoughts.
No blood for oil. I always had a negative reaction whenever I saw that bumper sticker during the days of the Iraq War. I opposed the war, but thought the bumper sticker, like most bumper stickers, was overly simplistic. And it was fundamentally wrong. It played to an obvious narrative, with both President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney coming from the oil industry. But history will show that's not how things played out. It seems fairly clear now, with the benefit of hindsight, that an inexperienced president was convinced by older, more experienced advisors that a successful military campaign in Iraq would lead to a stable democracy and would serve for a model for the entire region. At the very least, it would give us a friendly partner where we once had a dangerous threat. And they convinced him the cost would be low and we'd be out quickly. Bush was shaken by the 9/11 attacks, as we all were, and that impacted his decision to go to war with Iraq. I'm not as forgiving for his unwillingness to accept reality and change course once the war started to go badly. But I don't think the original motives were corrupt. We didn't go to war with Iraq to steal their oil. That, says President Trump, was our biggest mistake. And it's one he's intended to correct for some time now. In a speech to the CIA during the first days of his presidency, Trump said, "You remember, I always used to say, keep the oil. I wasn't a fan of Iraq. I didn't want to go into Iraq. But I will tell you, when we got out wrong. And I always said, in addition to that, keep the oil." Now that he's pulling U.S. troops out of Syria, Trump intends to get out right this time. And that means keeping the oil, even if it doesn't belong to us. The president has ordered the removal of some 1,000 U.S. troops from the area in Syria near the Turkish border where they had been fighting with and defending Kurdish allies. But they're not coming home. Not yet, anyway. They're being sent to take the oil first. Homeland Security Advisor Robert O'Brien argued Sunday on Meet the Press that those same oil fields had been taken over by ISIS and were used to fund operations in the days when they were building their caliphate. The United States does have a legitimate reason to secure the oil fields and ensure that doesn't happen again. But when asked who owned the oil, O'Brien said that would be decided later. When pressed on what right we have to serve as final arbiter as to who could have it, he didn't have an answer. They're too busy these days killing each other, but before the civil war in Syria, that country was producing about 400,000 barrels of oil a day. That area is controlled mostly by Kurds now, but what's left of the government in Damascus has never given up its legitimate claims to its own natural resources. And Russia still has valid contracts for some of the oil being pumped in that area. I assume that at some point the war will end and this will all get sorted out. And I have faith that U.S. oil companies will do just fine when it does, but not by plunder. These days it's men in suits who take the oil, not men with guns. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel.
Walt Rubel's columns appear at krwg.org in the local viewpoint section. Rubel's opinions are his own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRWG Public Media or NMSU.